America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Voorhees Perkins. That's relevant. Joe! And following me, as always, is Lupa Nafo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, hello. It's Friday the 13th. Go ahead and get all your Jason jokes out now.
I have none.
Yep, I have none, but because there wasn't really a funny movie.
No, there wasn't.
Of course, the game was hilarious, but that's another.
Oh, yeah, the game was a fucking riot. Okay, are we talking about the recent one or the one for the Nintendo?
I was referring to the Nintendo one, but the recent one was pretty hilarious, too.
The answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
The answer to that one is yes.
Yes.
Okay, so for some of you who may be a little younger who are listening who don't know what we're talking about, back during the glory days of the NES, because back in the NES, there was like a good third of the NES's library that was basically movie tie-ins, right?
Right.
A lot of times for movies that, sometimes for movies that hadn't been out in forever. And Friday the 13th was one of them, and it was shit.
Yes, it was.
You basically played a bunch of random kids at Camp Crystal Lake, because duh, and you basically spent the whole game wandering around killing zombies, because that was
apparently
zombies. Then you would go into like these random cabins everywhere, and then you do like one of those old school like first person exploration type shit, like Shadowgate or whatever.
Yeah.
That type of shit. And then occasionally you'd run into Jason, and Jason would be like, he would just be barehanded and like karate chopping. Walk back and forth. Sometimes he'd be karate chopping you, otherwise he'd be armed with like a machete or an axe or something. And then after you killed him, you had to fight his mother. And his mother was a giant disembodied Medusa head.
Which, I don't remember from the movie, to be honest.
I don't recall that being part of the source material.
Yeah.
So, nope.
And this was on the NES, which was mainly...
And it got the Nintendo seal of approval.
Yeah.
So. That's the thing.
Go figure.
It really never did mean anything.
Nope.
Yeah. Also, the game fucking crashed, like, very, very, way more often than your average NES game would. But whatever. All right. So, anyway, like I said, this episode is for July 13th, 2018. It's Friday the 13th. And holy shit, did some shit go down this week. our current President Trump is now out in Europe, and while he was gone, let's just say that the fucking hammer has after almost two long years, the hammer now seems to finally be coming down.
Hmm.
Amongst other things, Peter Stroke... Yeah. Amongst other things, FBI agent Peter Stroke was basically called to go before a congressional committee, and basically he didn't take no shit. And it was amazing. Yeah. We'll talk about it a little later. Also, we don't have this listed in the show notes, but we might as well go ahead and bring it up. It was finally confirmed this afternoon, that Russia actually stole the voting registration for 500,000 people. Mm. And apparently this also, they also is now confirmed that they did in fact hack into the DNC's servers, and that the timelines apparently line up right around the moment when Trump actually went on stage and said, "Russia, if you're listening."
Oh,
ooh,
that's not good.
That's damning.
Mm. And now the House Freedom Caucus has now come forth, and they're actually like putting forth a bill, some legislation to impeach Rod Rosenstein, who's the other guy helping Mueller with the investigation. Because now that this news out, it suddenly seems like a bit of a bit of a holy shit moment, and now they're kind of desperately like, oh shit, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And talk is that if they do supposedly somehow manage to impeach either Mueller or Rosenstein, that they've got like a kill switch option in place, where basically as soon as they are able, they will just leak all this shit publicly, and it'll do some serious damage.
As if the attempt to impeach wasn't incriminating enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Also, Sean Hannity, who is like a big one of Donald Trump's friends and basically an informal advisor, basically had to go on his show and say, okay, well, yeah, maybe Russians did it, but we do it all the time, which is basically like the final bit of basically the final nail in the coffin right there.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Well, that's
them at
Russian
all.
Propaganda.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, that's how Russia does things.
Yeah. But amongst other things, amongst other stories, we have Sacha Baron Cohen is back in the news. He's got a new project going, and he's managed to fool a bunch of very famous people, including a certain former candidate for vice president. We got some science news, Starbucks and plastic straws, and some Star Wars news. Oh, yeah, and let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. You remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? The sort of great Latina hope that's come about in politics now? Yeah, she apparently she won another election that she didn't even enter.
Awesome.
Yeah, so,
we'll get into it. But so, all that and more on this oh-so-fun episode of Let's Weekend. So, start us off. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I finished Age of War. That was a really good book. Didn't remember that this is a third book in a five-book series.
Yeah.
So that's a bit irritating. But at least his cadence of releasing books is actually pretty regular. They seem to be coming out on a yearly basis, so I'll only have to wait till next summer to read the next one. That was actually pretty good. I'm going to be starting the Singularity Trap probably this weekend and get into that. Very interested in hearing about that one because it's like a spacefaring type novel. But he asks a very interesting question in the sense that he asks the question, do humans have any goddamn business being in space in the first place?
Yeah.
So, very interested to see how he handles that. So that's pretty good. Been playing Shining Force 2, which is still a lot of fun. I'm making my way through that. I didn't remember how long that game actually is.
Yeah.
Because it is significantly beefier than the first one was.
One of the first true epics.
Yeah. So I'm really, really enjoying that. I've got a few of my characters promoted so far. I had promoted Slade, and then he was like, hitting for 6 damage. I'm like, what the hell happened here? he actually got weaker. And then I realized when you promote him, his weapon class changes.
Yep.
Yep.
So, that was irritating. He went from knives to swords, so I had to get him a sword. And then now he's like actually the strongest guy on my party. He's hitting for 51 attack at the moment.
So, nice.
He was just promoted, so... So that's really, really enjoyable. I don't know if I'll finish it this weekend. Probably not. It looks like there's a significant amount of stuff in there. So, I mean, I just got the caravan, so I probably have quite a bit more to go. So apart from that, what else have I done? Still doing the unpacking thing. There's a few boxes here and there that are left, but for the most part, it's, all here now. I found my PS2. So, yeah, that's going to be connected to the TV. Doing that. Been doing some work on Smashpad. If you were on the site late last night, you might have actually seen it. Because I had the new template live for about an hour while I was working on it. I switched back to the old one until I get everything finished and sorted out. Because there are issues and that need to be addressed. it's not like, you know, they're not like huge issues and stuff like that. It's just, yeah, there's like, okay, some CSS fixes I got to do here, 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 and here. And it's like 1:30 in the morning. Do I really want to do this right now? No.
Oh, that's the best time to be doing important stuff.
Yeah, let's change the background color to red so that everybody knows what we're
changes, delete the backups.
Yeah, let's do that. That's great. So yeah, not doing that, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks, probably after San Diego Comic Con, I'll be able to sit down with Dan Red. We'll get all the final design stuff nailed down, and that will go live. So that's fun. I do like the freedom I have on that template, because you can basically do quite a bit on there, and with the knowledge I have in PHP and WordPress now, I can actually do more than I could have before. So that's fun. Also melting, because that's a thing that is happening right now. I'm not a gelatinous puddle like I was a couple of weeks ago. Hello. But yeah, it's still pretty warm. So that's kind of been my week. It's been kind of eventful and also not eventful, but you know how it goes. So that's been it for me. But what about you, Pat?
Also melting. I, in contrast, have been a gelatinous puddle. Pretty much, it's just been too hot here to exist. So I've been getting home from work every night, just falling into bed and staying there. Just right underneath one of the fans in my apartment, which keeps me cool enough to stay alive, but not much else. Oof. So I'll be getting one of my old ACs in here in short order so that I can actually function and get back to some semblance of activity.
Yeah.
Because I haven't even been able to unpack. It's been so miserable. So that has been the whole of my week, apart from going to work and enjoying the air conditioning there.
All right.
Okay. Teresa, what about you?
Also not enjoying the heat, and definitely realizing why back in the 30s and 40s and stuff, or maybe even earlier, people used to go to the movie theaters because they were air conditioned, you know, just like spend the whole damn day there because nobody had air conditioning then. I have not been able to play much in the way of games other than Pokemon Go. Did a lot of progress towards leveling up, so I may actually hit that goal that I had for myself during the last community day. And then the next community day, I believe, is going to be a 2-day event. So we get more than just 3 hours to do it. They've added a lot of good stuff. They finally got trading going on. It's, you know, you could have friends in there now. There's a lot of people coming back. I think they're doing the 2-day Eevee event because the new Pokemon Switch game is coming out soon too. So, you know, I think that's a thing. But
they're doing that Pokemon Fest now.
The one in Grant Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one that fall apart like last year.
Probably, but the tickets were sold out so fast. There was just no chance. There was no chance because all the scalpers, motherfuckers, got them. a little salty about that. I definitely think that I will make level 37 before summer is out. So I'm glad for that. But other than that, I think I mentioned last time I got another job. So I started that, and my brain is leaking out of my ears. So it's been a long time since I've done my thing, and this is a different area of my thing. And it's going though. It's going.
Yeah, you probably like have select statements memorized by heart at this point.
No, not yet. I'm still trying to figure out what all the tables are and where they... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I need to, like, print these things out and start doing, you know, crazy mural on my wall with, like, string and stuff. Or just, you know, take some of the tables that they have already, or, well, flow charts and whatnot and print them out. But, yeah, it's... I did get access to the database yesterday. And so I did a few statements, but now today, after poking around and finding, you know, more tables, I'm starting to play. So, I'm over in one of the safe servers playing around.
So a drop table will probably not be a good thing to do over there.
No. And like the production servers, I didn't even save my password for the production servers. I've got them where they come up with a big red border on them, but, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, I guess I need to start packing because we're going to be in Florida next week.
Ooh.
So the weather doesn't look like it's going to be too hot, but, you know, it could change.
Which part of Florida are you going to?
Panama Beach.
Oh, Panama City Beach? Okay.
Yep, so
PCB.
We will be going through Atlanta. So,
yeah, have fun with that.
I've been to the Atlanta airport before, and you know what? I didn't think that it was all that. I don't know. I know it's big, and it's supposed to be busier than O'Hare, but it felt small to me. I don't know.
Maybe you were there on an off season.
I was there in goddamn July. Again.
Okay.
But it's been several years. It's been like 12, 14 years. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago. It has probably gotten exponentially larger since then. So, yeah. We have a lengthy layover that will allow us to make our connection.
Yeah. Man, PCB is a fucking trip. It's, be ready for a lot of drunk college kids.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah. You are going to see just a bunch of fucking, like, a bunch of just absolutely blasted college girls completely out of their goddamn minds driving down the fucking highway.
Oh, my God.
Screaming songs out of the windows.
Well, as long as
I remember the year being my... I remember the year me and my parents went, and just to tell you how long ago this was. This was when Bon Jovi had made their comeback with that song, It's My Life.
Yep.
And so everybody was fucking singing that song.
Oh, my God. I heard Bon Jovi on Muzak today. That's interesting. You don't hear them mentioned very often anymore.
Nope.
Well, hopefully they won't crash the wedding. The wedding's going to be on the beach, so...
Oh, God, you're doing a wedding?
Yep.
Oh, you poor, poor thing.
Yep.
Yeah, no wedding on the beach, too.
No tent.
Don't know if you heard our last show, you will know what my feelings on weddings are.
No, I haven't listened to last week's show yet.
Yeah.
Well, the title of the show was I Hate Weddings, so...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, now I'm going to listen tonight.
All right, so is that all?
Yep, that's it.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, so I watched all of Glow, first and second season.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Told ya.
Especially one of the later episodes in season two. This isn't a spoiler, but they actually sort of show you a full show.
Mm-hmm.
Full episode of the show. And that's at the point where they're kind of like, yeah, fuck this. If we get canceled, we get canceled. Let's just do something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool episode. I really love the choices they have for music. They go with like all of the 80s hits.
Mm-hmm. It is 80s as fuck.
Yeah. And they picked a lot of great music for that. It's just really well done, really captures the vibe of like 80s wrestling, especially on this sort of low rent scale that they're working on. And I'm excited for season three. Because the way they set it up with the end of the season, they had some really interesting stuff they could do.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. That's on Netflix, and I still really like it. And it's kind of, my enjoyment's kind of gotten better as people complained more about it. Especially the people that talk about how they fucked up Luke.
Yeah.
And all that. And I saw a good like Twitter thread of somebody talking about how actually it's fairly consistent with what he was doing in Return of the Jedi. Because the way people took the whole bit with him, Vader, and the Emperor's probably explains a lot about why people were upset about The Last Jedi. Because a lot of people took it as him being sort of a benevolent force, always seeing good in people, I guess. Whereas he actually kind of comes in expecting to not be able to do any good. And ends up, you know, saving his father at the end. Sort of the same way that, like, with Ben Solo, like, he comes to the realization that he is full of darkness and there's probably no way of saving him. And yeah, there's some really great stuff in there. Yeah, so that was nice to sort of come back to it and be like, oh yeah, I still really like this. As for games, I have been playing a good bit of Mushroom Wars 2. This is on the Switch, also on PC, and it was originally a mobile game. Sequel to a game that probably only I know about. It's a PS3 PSN game, kind of an RTS light, where you are not doing any like base building or any stuff like that. The buildings that are in the level are all set up. It's just a matter of building up your units and sending them to the other buildings to capture them. And generally, you're just doing one-on-ones. I'm playing through the campaign right now. And where I'm at, they kind of introduce a third faction that is like a... It's a weird... They're kind of like wizard mushroom people. But they're also aliens because they fly around in an alien spaceship, like classic saucer type thing. But they're also kind of like Reapers.
Yeah.
Like the Grim Reaper. It's a real weird faction. And when they take over buildings, they kind of get like gems on them, like crystalline kind of thing. It looks real weird. But the boss battle they bring them into is like a one-on-one-on-one kind of thing, and at first I decided to turn up the difficulty a little bit, and not really paying too much attention, I got fucking wiped, because they spawn in off the map, so they just send shit tons of, they basically Zerg rush people all across the map, and on the, at least the second difficulty, they take away the numbers that they show for each of the towers. So you know what's there, so you can gauge whether you should send your troops to take it over or not. So when you're doing a big boss fight that has three factions for the first time, going on a higher difficulty puts you at a huge disadvantage, especially when you don't know. Like another thing, they like a tower will put up an SOS message if you're about to get a bunch of enemies coming at your way. So you can sort of quickly move troops over to help defend it. So not having that as well makes it real hard to guess where to put your defenses and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I've been mostly playing on easy. I just put up a YouTube video on it. Literally uploading as we were starting the show. So if I sounded weird, that's why. And yeah, I've been enjoying it. There's a shit ton of content in it. They kind of do it mobile style. Well, not really like the best of three stars, but you get a star for each difficulty you beat it on. So if you beat it on the second of the four, you get two stars. You beat it on the hardest, it's all four. There's like 189 stars for the first episode, as they call it, like the first campaign. You have to beat that to get to the second campaign, which has like 200. So it's a lot of stages. But also in the video, I checked out the online multiplayer, and I actually won my first match. So granted, I was matched up with noobs. So, but it was one-on-one-on-one, and we kind of paired together to take out the one guy. Then it was me against the other guy, and I think I won pretty easily because it's running by the same rules as some of the harder difficulties, so you can't see how many people they have in any of their buildings. So I was doing this thing where I just load up all my units in the buildings I own further up on the map. So like my front lines, essentially load them up. So if he wanted to send them to my back buildings, he could take them. But he never did. So he just kept sending people at mine. It's like, oh, I got this. And eventually won. So I'm probably going to retire at 1-0. Retire undefeated, so that's my plans with that. So the video's up. Review probably coming in the next couple days. Also been playing something else on Switch called Don't Die, Mr. Robot DX, which is sort of the Switch version of the great arcade game that was on the PS4 and Vita, as well as, I think, other platforms. But yeah, it's very much arcade-inspired. Your guy does not do attacks, but generally in the arcade mode, fruit will drop onto the stage, and you want to either store those up or use them to take out enemies. They sort of explode, and in that radius, if an enemy is in that radius, they will die and turn into coins. You can use that coins to buy upgrades for power-ups, which is usually like either get shields or have a magnet to collect all the coins, that sort of stuff. It's a really simple game. It's one that's not flashy at all. Some people might think it looks ugly, but if you can get past that, it's a really fun game. And it's on sale for like $1.34 on the Switch eShop. So it's dirt cheap if you're looking for something cheap to play on your Switch. That's one to get. And I also got a new car. Because my last one is going to require repairs that are more expensive than I paid for the car.
Mm-hmm. So that's like a good reason.
Nope, we're not doing that. And I paid roughly about the same amount for this new car, which is both are Cadillacs. This one's a cheaper model, but it's the same year, so basically has all the same features in it. It's just moved around. Yeah. So I've been spending the last week or so just trying to figure out how to do everything I was doing before. And then I opened up my armrest, and I found out there's a 6-CD changer in there.
Nice.
I was like, what the hell is this doing in the armrest? Because it's also taking up half of the room that's in there. I want to put some shit in there. But now I want to see if I can get a new stereo and just stick it in the armrest and replace that thing, because that would be nice. And not have to mess with the one that's in the dashboard itself. But yeah, that's been pretty good. It has a moonroof on it, and I don't know when I'm ever going to use that. Because it's 90 degrees out. I don't want any more sun on me, especially when I'm driving.
There's like 2 good weeks in spring and maybe 1 good week in fall.
Yeah. I guess if the moon's out when I'm driving at night. But otherwise, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like more of a, like something you'd have like in Florida or something like that. Like a place where it's sunny and nice out most of the time, I guess. But not where everything melts. But yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right, so first and foremost, I've primarily still been playing my Kingdom Hearts collection. I don't know if I mentioned this. So I finished Birth by Sleep, so now I moved on to Kingdom Hearts 2. And holy shit, I forgot how long that whole Roxas part at the beginning drags on. I mean, goddamn. I mean, it's nice and homey and it's charming and everything, but fuck, man, I want to play Sora. And you're basically spending at least the first 2 hours of this game playing as this kid you never heard of. In his little town called Twilight Town, you know, hanging out with his friends and everything, getting in a tournament where they hit each other with plastic bats. And then weird shit starts happening because, you know, it's the fucking Matrix. And, spoiler alert. And, then finally you get through all that, and you finally get this place Sora again.
Do they do anything to tell you, like, the storyline as far as, like, where these games take place in it?
Yeah, well, like the games
the
are...
of the collection?
No, they don't. Because
it seems
that
like
was the
it would
case.
Be a
Birth
good
by...
thing to have.
Yeah, if they did that, Birth by Sleep would be the first game to choose, because Birth by Sleep is basically the pretty much the first game in like, the timeline. But no,
yeah, like
they don't do that.
Sort of, like, museum-type thing, like, hey, here's when these all take place.
Yeah, no, they basically put them out at order of release, I think. But you know, I mean, and again, since this is still basically like an HD remaster, it just reminds you of how some of the stuff that bits and pieces here haven't really held up graphically. Like, one of the things that the first game used to do, that the original Kingdom Hearts games did to get around, you know, certain, one of the shortcuts, I guess, that they would make is, you know, if they had, like, actual full cutscenes, you know, they would all have, like, full facial and mouth movements.
Yeah.
But otherwise, all the characters would have that generic mouth flap, you know, repeated mouth flapping thing that they would do.
It doesn't help that they...
And it wasn't...
It doesn't help that they're all on different platforms almost.
Yeah, and I say they do that generic mouth flapping thing. They don't really even flap. It's just like a couple frames of animation that they like sharply switch to over and over again.
Like, hey, we don't have that much budget to animate this.
No. But I got that taken care of, so of course I went to GameStop today and got Octopath Traveler. It is now sitting in my Switch, ready to start, and I still have not gotten any confirmation yet on whether or not these stories actually, like, either if they actually overlap or if they actually, like, become, like, they all, after you finish all the different pathways, if they all come together to, like, a final episode type thing. I don't really care either way because the game looks and plays amazing. But apparently the reviews have been coming in and they're pretty good. People like it.
Straight nines from Famitsu.
9 out of 10s from an 8 out of 10s from, you know, IGN, GameSpot, Polygon, Kotaku. Weirdly enough, I think it was Destructoid that gave it a 7.5 for some reason. But, Yeah, go figure. Yeah, can't wait to get that. Of course, I pre-ordered it, so, yeah, it was Destructoid, 7.5. That's actually the lowest score for this game I've seen so far.
Yeah, everything else score.
Yeah, Nintendo Life gave it a 9. VideoGamer.com gave it an 8 out of 10. Yeah. But, I can't wait to get to that. So, let's see. Other than that, of course, I'm doing my usual reading. I got into this trilogy of books called the Illuminae Files trilogy that I highly recommend everyone give a chance. It's a young adult series, and it's basically a space opera. And you go to, like, the bookstore, you know, to get these books, and the books look pretty thick because they're, like, 600 pages. But what they do is that the entire book, the entire story is basically made up of a mixture of emails, chat logs, news reports, various graphics. Like, there's one where there's, like, a movie poster with graffiti on it. There's points where they get, like, the readouts from an AI in the story, and it's fucking insane. They got a part where they're telling sort of how, like, there's, like, a space battle, you know, like, dogfighting stuff, and they've got the stuff, like, on a black starry field, and the words are sort of twisting and turning around, you know, mimicking, like, a, you know, like, spaceships in a dogfight, you know? I'm still only like halfway through it. It's fucking amazing. Yeah, it's good shit. It really is. So really, other than that, I don't know if I mentioned this before or last week. I've officially started my education now.
I think you touched on it last week, but didn't really.
You
said that you were going to work on that for a while now.
Yeah, I finally started it. Awesome. Well, technically, I started it the week before last, but you know, we had things we had to do. But yeah, so the whole thing, I can do it at my own pace. It's all online. I got a couple of textbooks with me. And I've been hard at work on it. The way I'm going now, I'll probably be finished around the holidays or probably around the new year, early January, something like that. It's very easy to do, but it is surprisingly challenging. There is a bit of an information dump that you have to go through. This looks like what my career is going to be: medical billing and coding.
Very cool.
Cool. Yeah. They've got a whole course in there about the basics of coding to begin with. So, you know, I won't be out of the loop.
Nice.
I, for the first time in a long time, I feel like I've actually got a course, you know, like a goal that I can actually work towards.
Yep. It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Yep. All right. Does anybody have anything they want to add in before we move on?
I just want to mention that Coors Light sucks.
Oh yeah, yeah. I thought we all knew that.
Did you try it recently? I mean, why would you do that?
Well, it's what my mom buys, so I tell her not to, but that's what she buys.
You're Canadian. I thought you guys had your own beer.
Is yes, we have Blatt our own crappy beer we could buy, but she buys Coors Light instead. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, that's imported for them.
Oh, God, that's a horrible thought. Gives imports an even worse name.
Anyways.
Are you guys getting tariffs on beer yet?
Oh, God, no. I hope not.
Maybe the aluminum.
Yeah. I swear. Well, we make most of the aluminum, so.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that. Most of those tariffs they've been talking about are now going into effect, and holy shit, the fucking Midwest is hurting.
Yeah, they're not happy.
No. So, if nothing else, that pretty much guarantees that Donald Trump will not get a second term.
Yep.
Well, I wonder if it's going to guarantee that we have higher voter turnout in November, well, leading up to November and in November.
Probably.
I certainly hope so.
We will.
It's a shame.
There will probably be a couple acts of political violence to go along with it.
Yep.
It's a shame nobody's told people that voting for Trump would be in their worst interest.
Gee, it's as if only somebody was, I don't know, having a podcast they put on every week or so,
somebody was having a debate and said, oh, Russia's getting involved in all this and trying to hack the whole system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
God, it's just...
People are obsessed about emails that didn't have much of anything to do with it.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that there would be some satisfaction in being the one going, I told you so.
There's none.
But it's just hollow.
There's none. It's you're watching the walls crumble down all around everybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And ourselves, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, in that case, I do believe it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And you know what? I decided to do something Friday the 13th related, because, there we go. Because, you know, of course, when everyone thinks of Friday the 13th, it's inadvertently connected to a certain movie franchise, right?
Oh, your dog is freaking out.
Yeah, I know. My folks just drove up. Hmm. But anyway, so everybody knows, of course, it's just always going to be connected with a certain movie franchise. Of course, that's Friday the 13th. And everybody knows that who's the star of Friday the 13th? It's Jason Voorhees, even though he wasn't in the first two movies. Obviously, you know, the Friday the 13th, you know, that particular franchise has been around for a good 30 years now. Good 30, 40 years now. And there are some crazy, crazy super fans out there, right?
Yeah.
People who just do insane shit for just stuff that they love like crazy. Well, there's a certain Friday the 13th fan who basically did something that honestly, I love it, but it's also freaking terrifying. Nobody knows who did this, by the way. Nobody has come forth to declare that they did. Well, probably somebody did. I just missed it. But anyway, over in Minnesota, somebody installed a full-sized, life-sized underwater Jason Voorhees statue.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Why would they do that to us?
Yeah, because, like, you know, I'm already terrified of the water to begin with, especially when it's deep, dark, dank lake water like this.
When you can't see the bottom, that shit don't fly.
Oh.
It's just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, so just imagine, you know, you're already scared to death of what's underwater.
And if you're not, you should be.
Yeah, and so somebody apparently convinces you to go, hey, hey man, it's not so bad, dude. It's just, it's like fish and roots and tree limbs and stuff down there. Ain't nothing down there that can hurt you. First of all, that's a lie, and I can tell you from experience that is a lie. But so somebody finally convinces you, hey, let's just, you know, he's like, all right, fine, if it'll get you to shut up. And then this is what you end up seeing.
Nope. Nope.
So much nope. Nope.
Yeah, so basically this life-size statue is just down there. Supposedly it's been... Okay, so the guy who's come forward claiming credit for it is this guy named Doug Klein. He claims that he put it down there back in 2013. So yeah, basically, as you can see, that thing's basically been in the water for about 8 years now. And it's starting to, like, you would think that at some point being in the water that long, it would sort of, I don't know, lessen the impact. It really doesn't.
No, it's
if it,
actually
anything,
more terrifying.
It makes it worse. Because, like, some mineral growth has started. There's some rust. And I'm sure some things have made their home inside of it. Yeah, so like we said, the dude just decided to put it down there. I mean, you can literally, like I said, you can literally only see this if you actually swim down to the bottom to see it. I mean, that is, not only is that, like, legit serious dedication, that is also seriously horrifying.
Right.
Oh, yeah. God.
It also shows a good deal of foresight, because, yeah, you have to, like, get it down there and set it up, and then, yeah, this was well thought out.
Yeah, so, by the way, for those who don't know, they don't have it on this particular article, but apparently this thing resulted in someone calling the cops at least once, because they thought somebody had left a body down there.
You can understand why.
Like we said earlier, the thing is chained to the bottom. Yeah. So you can understand why someone would think that might be the case.
Yeah.
But yeah. Minnesota, somebody put a giant, not a giant, just a life-size Jason Voorhees statue at the bottom of a lake, and it will be terrifying people for generations to come, especially when all that paint finally comes off, because holy crap, that thing is going to look horrifying.
Yeah.
When all the detail's been rusted away.
Yep.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Rant of Factoid. Sweet dreams, folks.
Oh, God.
You know, and I thought that those... Do you remember... Have you guys ever seen... Okay. I don't know if you got... I don't know if I mentioned this. Back when I was younger, I was really into the Loch Ness Monster. And for the record, no, there is no Loch Ness Monster. He doesn't exist. But I used to think they existed. And, you know, part of the fun of those old... Of that crap was, you know, all those really blurry photographs you would occasionally see. Like that one of, like, what looked like a head and neck sticking out of the water. And the ones that really creeped me out were the underwater ones. Because apparently, like, back some point in, I think it was in the early 70s, a crew went out into the middle of Loch Ness, and they put, like, an underwater camera and with, like, a strobe light on the end of it so that, you know, it could light up what was there to occasionally take a photo. And there's, like, three photos of what looks like a freaking plesiosaur swimming around in the bottom of it. And it's just, like, vague and grainy enough that it's just nightmarish. Including there's this one that's supposed to be, like, a close-up of its head and face. For the record, it turns out what actually was happening was they had forgot to fasten the camera at the bottom of the lake, so it was basically rolling around taking pictures every which way, and most of it was just the bottom of the lock. At one point, he even took a picture of the bottom of his own boat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I thought that stuff was convincing as hell back then. Now I know, of course, it was a load of garbage, but see, that's the thing about this type of crap. That type of fuzzy underwater crap just really creeps me the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the drowned god from Game of Thrones. All right. Anyway, so it's now time to start the show proper. And of course, as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And we have two installments of assholes of the week, or candidates, I guess, because our first asshole of the week was due to what was probably the major story of I guess this was this yesterday or Wednesday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, FBI agent Peter Stroke was called before a House committee. A congressional committee. He and I think Lisa Page, who supposedly were the FBI agents who were having an affair, and supposedly as all this was, who were apparently at one point part of the Mueller investigation, and then apparently somebody managed to get their like correspondence online, and apparently it seemed pretty anti-Trump, so he had to be dropped off the case. Well, basically, he went before the hearing yesterday, and it was basically a show trial.
Yeah.
There's really no other phrase to describe it.
And he called them out on it and lit everyone on fire.
Yeah, and it imploded in just the most glorious way possible. So our first candidates for Apple of the Week are Trey Gowdy, and I guess we don't have it listed here, but Louie Gohmert and just the GOP as a whole.
Yeah, all the GOP people on this council.
On that particular committee, who basically showed their asses and made it pretty clear what they were really wanting to do. It was all political theater.
Trying to grill Stroke on bias is hilarious. Because they came in with a clear agenda to discredit them.
Yeah.
The FBI and the Mueller investigation as a result.
Yeah, and they failed.
Yeah.
Like, just spectacularly so.
The Chicago Tribune article we have here kind of splits it up into seven key moments.
Yeah.
The first one was the contempt threat.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long for the hearing to explode after the opening statements. Trey Gowdy lodged his first question. How many people did Stroke interview during the first 8 days of the FBI's Russia investigation? in 2016 from July 31st to August 8th. And, a stroke previewed his opening statement. He said he had been advised by the FBI's lawyers that he was not to address specifics of what is still an ongoing investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans quickly objected, threatened to hold him in contempt. And I guess they were going to later on decide if they were going to hold him in contempt.
It was an attempt at intimidation, and it didn't work.
Yeah, he basically said, I know what you're trying to do, and I don't like it.
No.
Yeah, he also said, Mr. Chairman, I do not believe I am here under subpoena. I believe I'm here voluntarily. Based on that, I will not answer that question.
Yeah. That's true. He wasn't actually there on subpoena. He was there under oath, but he wasn't there under subpoena. So,
yep. Also replied to them. After more than 20 minutes of maneuvering and posturing following the subpoena discussion, Gowdy ended his interrogation of Strzok, and he was given the floor to respond. In a minutes-long retort, he called Gowdy's and his Republican allies' allegations of bias and improper actions deeply destructive.
Yep. Wasn't that after a big, long thing where he basically was – because they were basically asking him about, you know, what the hell has happened to our country. You know, he should lose $100 million to 1, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then he responded the reason he was saying that was because it was right around the time when then candidate Trump had basically taken a giant shit on the Khan family, who were a Gold Star family.
Yep. He also says here, my presumption was based on that horrible, disgusting behavior that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States. It was in no way unequivocally any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral process for any candidate. So I take great offense.
The point is, at the end of that string of statements, Trey Gowdy basically sank down to his chair, and people in the audience broke out into applause. Yeah. So,
And didn't Gowdy fuck right off after that?
I don't think he really did much after that.
These sort of things, generally each person gets a set amount of time to ask questions.
Yeah. I think this was sort of that, and also I think this was his part where Mr. Welch is up as talking to Joe McCarthy and telling him, at long last, have you no sense of decency? Sure. Yep.
The third thing, the perjury accusation. Louis Gohmert, seized upon Strzok's contention that his text didn't demonstrate personal bias. So that argument amounted to him lying. When Democrats noted that Gohmert was basically accusing Strzok of perjury, given he made that claim under oath, Gohmert was unbowed. Unbowed.
Yep.
And it got personal, very personal. When I see you looking with a little smirk, I wonder how many times did you look so innocently into your wife's eyes and lie to her about Lisa Page?
And this is Louis Gohmert speaking, and holy crap, did he just open a can right there, because basically every single Democrat member of that committee just unloaded on him.
Yeah. Also, he said the fact that you would question whether or not that was the sort of look goes more to a discussion about your character.
Yeah. And wasn't there that one committee woman who basically said, you need to take your medication?
Yeah. Yeah.
It
was very clear these people were going in trying to discredit this guy as much as possible, and in the same breath discrediting the FBI and the Mueller's investigation.
Yeah, and then there was that weird exchange between, I guess, the guy who was basically directing this hearing. What was his name? Goodlot or
Goodlatte.
Yeah, what everybody calls him, Good Latte.
Yeah.
And that other guy, what was his name? Nadler. It was like, the gentleman is not recognized. The gentleman wants a point of order. The gentleman's point of order has not been recognized. Just like for and freaking Miss and Peter Strzok is just sitting there at the chain. He's just like, he's like, I'll wait.
The next part here, the transcript threat. I guess the Democrats were trying to push for the release of a transcript of Stroke's previous testimony that was closed door.
Yeah.
That has kind of had bits and pieces of it leaked. So
yeah.
That there needed to be a full release so that people would see the whole context of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. David Cicilline, Democrat, Rhode Island. We intend to release this transcript unless someone presents some rule that prevents us from doing it, and we'll give you till 5 this afternoon to present that. Otherwise, we intend to release the transcript. Let's see. Mark Meadows backed him up, who was head of the House Freedom Caucus.
Yeah.
Let's see, the fifth one, making him read his own text.
Mm-hmm.
So Daryl Issa of California in the GOP. It took his 5 minutes to force Stroke to read some of his own text, including ones that use vulgarities.
Yeah.
Let's see, while reading one which he used the F word while talking about Trump.
And Stroke to his paused. Credit, he didn't like try to mince words or anything. He pretty...
Yeah, he paused that and asked how he should handle it, and then finished. Then just asked him to read it again. Sir, was that not intelligible? You just want to hear for me to repeat it? Please, Issa said, okay, sir, sure.
Yeah.
Happy to indulge you.
Yeah, and then finally, I think the part that should really, to kind of wrap this part up before we move on, there was then the one, the committee member who was basically reading out all these statements and asking Mr. Stroke, he's like, did you say those statements? And then Mr. Stroke would reply, no, sir. And he'd say, no, this statement was from Republican so-and-so.
Yeah.
About, yeah.
Yeah, and definitely the last one here is about visual aids. Like, people on the Democrat side just calling out the Republicans, trying to find any lines they could that could lead to them trying to shut down the Mueller investigation.
Yeah, it got kind of sad towards the end.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was our first candidate for asshole of the week. Our second candidate is just this... stupid hillbilly of a person. We've all seen
Illinois.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually probably like 25 minutes from me.
Yeah, so apparently this woman and her, I guess there was like a, was it like a birthday party, I think? They had rented out a space at a public park somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, well, Forest Preserve.
Yeah, Forest Preserve. Well, okay, so... It's basically same idea, but yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, it is.
But yeah, they had rented out this space for a birthday party, and this woman,
her 24th birthday.
Yeah, and this was on July 4th, I think.
No, this
right?
was on June 14th.
June 14th. Okay.
Yeah, she didn't. She probably didn't post the video till the 4th.
Till the 4th. So all right.
Recently,
and
yeah.
So she is wearing a shirt that has the flag of Puerto Rico on it. Now, we've all seen the flag of Puerto Rico, right? It's actually pretty similar to the American flag.
It's really fucking common up here. I mean, being proud of where, you know, your heritage is for Puerto Ricans is a big thing. They're in people's rearview mirrors all the time. What the fuck is the deal? This guy's lived here fucking long enough to see them. Sorry. Didn't mean to derail that there, but
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, everybody knows Puerto Rican flag looks very similar to the U.S. flag, except, you know, the field is a triangle and it has one star, right? And, of course, this woman also had the t-shirt she had on where the blue field was. It said Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah,
and as everybody
star.
Knows, yeah. And as everybody knows, Puerto Rico is, in fact, although it's not a state, it is a U.S. territory. And all the people in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens.
Yep.
And then this middle-aged... I'm convinced this dude was on something, wasn't he? He had to be.
Just I don't think
by
they
his behavior
for that.
But he basically comes up and he just starts harassing this woman for just no reason. Like he's you know, he's like, y'all ain't going to change the United States. The world ain't going to change the United States of America. Go back to your country. Are you a citizen? You should speak English. And I'm making it sound far more dignified than it actually did.
He's kind of slurring a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just his own personal issues, or I don't think he was drunk, because I don't think they cite him for any public drunkenness.
Yes, maybe he'd had a stroke or something at some point. Yeah. That's possible. Maybe he's suffering from dementia or something. But basically, the dude just—I mean, it was basically the reason the thing went viral was because, well, for two reasons. One is because the dude was so profoundly ignorant of the fact that Puerto Ricans are Americans.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that Puerto Rican flag is pretty much almost identical to the American flag.
Yeah.
But also because of the fact that while all of this was going on, there was a police officer not 20, 25 feet away from where this was happening, watching the whole thing. And as this woman is recording it, she's trying to tell the officer, please, officer, help me. This man is, you know, this man is harassing me and my family. And he just walks away like nothing's going on.
Yeah,
and I don't care what he says. He has jurisdiction in a forest preserve. There are forest preserve officers.
Yeah, he is part of that police force for that
reserve. Was he a forest preserve officer?
Yeah, he's a forest preserve of Cook County Police Department.
Yeah.
And for the record, just so you know, he's been put on desk duty. So,
well, he resigned. He resigned, yeah.
Yeah, he completely resigned, okay.
Yeah,
but it was just indicative of just everything right now.
Yeah,
you know, just of a woman from an American territory that is still basically decimated, speaking perfect English, trying to have fun with a family at a national park, having forest reserve. I know.
Yeah.
And then having some stupid old man harassing them, you know, apparently not even realizing that Puerto Ricans are American citizens. And then a piece of person from law enforcement who does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So like every little bit of everything wrong with the United States in 2018 wrapped up in one moment.
And at least some good happened out of this. He was arrested later.
Mm-hmm.
He was initially charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct and misdemeanor assault before his charges were upgraded. He's scheduled to appear in court today, so and each count is a Class 3 felony that carries a possible sentence of probation or up to 2 to 5 years in prison if convicted.
Yeah.
But, yeah. His lawyer also said that this guy has a problem with alcohol. And that he had mixed alcohol and painkillers before going to the forest preserve or while at the forest preserve, and tried to say that, you know, he's not always like this is Jekyll and Hyde when he drinks. And there are some people who are like that, but
At
the same time, however, people have to remember alcohol doesn't make you a douchebag. It just turns off all the filters in your mind that usually prevent you from being a douchebag.
Yeah.
And he's also been ordered. He's got an electronic bracelet on him now, and he has to go for alcohol evaluation, which is probably going to be the best thing that ever happened to him if he's got a big drinking problem. And he's been told to stay away from her and all Cook County Forest Preserves. And that's a big fucking deal, because that's where everybody goes. Yeah, you know, where the fuck is he going to go fishing? He's out of luck. Well, he shouldn't have run his mouth.
Yeah. Yep. Don't feel sorry at all.
No. No, hopefully he takes this opportunity to educate himself.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. I doubt it.
Education? What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's America.
Yeah.
Can I just address that one point,
please? Yeah, go ahead.
Please? Yeah. For those of you who are listening right now, anybody who uses the term America, that's M-U-R-K-A. If I hear you say that in public, I will punch you in the face.
Yeah.
What about M-U-R-I-C-A?
yes, I will punch you in the face for that as well. Okay. Because that's a misspelling of the proper derogatory.
America.
That's basically a named stereotype after, thing at this point.
Yeah, named after Amerigo Vespucci.
Yeah. But some people actually say that proudly. And,
not
to
as,
those
like,
people...
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. It's usually either you're making fun of people in the South or you're probably from the South.
Yeah. Also, so most of those people are baby boomers, and they're going to be dead in about 20 years, so...
Hopefully we don't all turn into a bunch of old motherfuckers who are just horrible.
We will.
Crotchety in the opposite direction.
We will. It's scientifically proven that you basically become more crotchety as you get older.
I remember we had straws.
We'll be talking about that in a moment.
Yeah. All right, so to white...
We drove cars.
Yeah. We drove cars and...
We put CDs into them and... Those are weird things.
Yeah.
Don't exist anymore.
Nope.
Yeah. No, they don't.
But anyway, moving on from that, yeah, to sort of get that taste out of our mouths, we got our heroes of the week. And the first candidate for our heroes, pretty much the story that had pretty much enraptured the world for the last week, that the young boys' soccer team and their coach from Thailand trapped in it. Cave. This week they were all officially rescued.
Yep.
And it's
so
the reason.
Wasn't it a diver?
Yeah.
One of the divers passed away. And wasn't he like a Marine and a volunteer or something?
Navy SEAL.
Yeah. And he volunteered.
Yeah.
So, holy crap. The reason people were. Why people were on their pins and needles this whole time is because there was a distinct moment when it seemed it might be impossible to get those kids out.
Really? How the hell did they get in there?
Well, they went exploring and didn't like a storm surge come or something? Yep.
Yeah, and I guess they had to go to shelter or something, and this was what the closest they could find, and it basically, you know, the water filled up and they couldn't swim out.
Yeah.
It was real touch and go there, and there was a point nobody thought where it felt like all was lost, and then out of the blue, they came up with this idea, and they managed to get all the boys out.
Yeah. And then there was Elon Musk, like, I'm going to make a sub out of spaceship parts. We're going
to
do something.
Yeah, because, of course, he had to make it all about himself, but...
Then of course, there was like, no, fuck off, we got it.
Yeah.
So it's basically a big thing letting him go to Thailand.
Yeah. You can kind of... There was a joke going around of how you can kind of see the mindset of the various nationalities, because through most of the world, the big headlines were, all the boys are now safe and sound. But in a lot of places in the U.S., it was Hollywood producers asking for a movie deal.
Yep. That sounds about right.
Yeah, and you know when they do, they're going to make it all about that Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, that dude was a hero, plain and simple, but he wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But, so all those guys are safe. Guys over in Thailand, you guys were awesome. Awesome stuff. And now, on to the guy I just took a shit on a few minutes ago. Yeah, look, I've made no secret about my mixed feelings about Elon Musk. But
he's a guy with a ton of money that doesn't always know how to best use it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes off as an ass.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Did you see him complaining about people calling him a billionaire?
Yeah.
People making fun of me, calling me a billionaire in a derisive tone. It's like, it's because you have a fucking shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Even a chunk of your money could solve tons of problems for people.
Yeah. And he's vowing to do just that, because he's vowing to come forward to fix the water crisis in Flint, Michigan. Because for those you don't know, the folks in Flint, Michigan still do not entirely have potable water just yet. Mm-hmm. It's still filled with lead.
And I don't know that he's... Is he just doing the filters?
It's possible. I don't know.
So I think that's what he was mainly pledging for this.
Yeah, he could... Like, I will buy all the filters.
Yeah, this whole thing is just a symptom of the huge infrastructure problems we have in this country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of water pipes that are made out of lead in this country, and
And corruption. You forgot corruption, because that is a big reason
that
why
this
happened.
There's still tons of houses with lead paint on them.
Mm-hmm.
There's supposed to be government funds to use for that, and that stuff just gets cut every year.
It's including this year, because guess who's in the White House right now?
Yeah, because it's not a sexy thing to put money towards.
No. And, I mean, there's still places where they still have asbestos that they're still having to deal with.
There was the big worry about bridges collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything about that?
Nope.
We've still got tons of shitty roads across this country.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of shit all over the place.
Yeah. Now, understandably, the United States is a big country, and the way that our system is made out, it can be hard to get through to get the various states to do this shit.
Residents keep
still
running
no
on
excuse.
Infrastructure platforms and nothing really happens.
Yeah. Usually because there are certain interests that don't want them fixed.
Well, in some states, they have, you know, shithole people in charge there, like Wisconsin, Scott Walker. And their roads, I was up there this weekend, still shit.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
They don't care.
We got that here at Maslin. They're notoriously cheap. Especially during the wintertime, when the snow, ice, all that fucks up tons of roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's
and
one
they,
of the off-ramps I get off of that, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Looked like fucking landmines went off and blew up the roads.
Yeah.
There were so many potholes.
We have that problem.
Resistance.
Yeah, we have that problem here in Macon, but the worst part is that the roads are nice and neat in the rich parts of the city.
Yeah. You can tell the difference.
Once you get to the poor.
Yeah. You can tell the difference on this road when you get from Maslin to Canton, because Maslin, they just patch over that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. On the Canton side, they just repave the entire road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like,
gosh, I feel free.
Yeah. So
well,
free. Yeah, they also took down 20
to
years.
Obliterate your suspension.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, it is now time to start the proper show proper. And first of all, we're going to get on something that we really should have gotten onto last week, but it just completely escaped our thoughts. Harlan Ellison passed away. And, where to begin? Because Harlan Ellison was, like, one of the major figures in American literature for over 50 years.
Role model to many an intellectual malcontent.
Yeah. He wrote just about everything. He wrote novels, short stories. He was basically the god of the American short story for a while.
Yes.
In fact, two of his stories are some of the most reprinted short stories in the English language. He wrote, of course, screenplays for film and television. He wrote spoken word pieces. He wrote essays.
He worked on games.
Oh, yeah, he worked on games, too. He did comic books. He did just about everything, really.
Did he do the voice acting on the I Must Scream, I Have No Mouth, whatever the...
Yeah, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. He played Am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him. And damn, was he good, too. Did we mention that Harlan Ellison was also an actor? Because he was a damn good one, even though it wasn't really his chosen profession. On top of that, he also did a bunch of appearances on Babylon 5 and some other shows. Yeah. To be honest, in kind of hindsight, a lot of people saw this coming because he'd had like a stroke last year, and that had pretty much been sort of, he'd just been on going downward since then. So if you're wondering, like, you know, if you want to read Harlan Ellison, what would be like the stuff that you have to read? So, just very briefly, we'll go through some of the pieces that is basically essential. First, we'll talk about, obviously, we're going to try and not go over 3 hours.
No.
The first and probably one thing he's most famous for is the one of the most reprinted short stories in English language, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, which is about an omniscient and omnipresent supercomputer who's basically killed all of the human race except these five people who he's decided to keep around to torture for eternity.
And is quite good at it.
Oh, God, yes. And it's legit horrifying. It's really hard to describe. You have to actually read it for yourself.
Body horror at
Trust
its
me,
finest.
You'll... Mm-hmm. Sci-fi horror at its absolute best. And, of course, if you wanted to go even deeper, you can play the computer game that was made out of it, which is an award winner. And it is legit a disturbing piece of game software. Because it goes into depths, into the themes and depths that video games just did not go into back then. We're talking themes of murder, cannibalism, sexual assault, genocide, all kinds of awful crap. And all of it with, you know, Harlan Ellison himself with his absolutely demented voice acting.
Yes.
Let's see. Other than that, there is probably two other stories by him. Three other stories by him. You know, a few other stories by him I'd recommend. There's The Beast That Shouted Love at the Heart of the World, which really I can't describe. You have to read it for yourself. There's Repent, Harlequin Said the TikTok Man, which is a dystopia where everything's based on a timetable. And also legit terrifying. There's Demon with a Glass Hand, which is considered to be one of two things by Harlan Ellison that James Cameron ripped off to make The Terminator. Finally, there is... God, what was the last one? Shit, I can't think of it. So as far as like longer narratives are concerned, he wrote... Harlan actually never wrote like a full-length science fiction novel. But he did
write...
Which
is a shame because it would have been amazing.
Yeah, but he did write a couple of novels, and some of them are really good. The first one that he published was a crime novel called Web of the City, which is basically a action story involving greaser gangs in Brooklyn, New York. It's pretty good. The Hard Case Crime imprint publishes it now in a nice pulpy-looking paperback. The other, and probably his best novel that he ever wrote, was Spider Kiss, also known as Rockabilly. And the reason it's famous is because it eerily predicted the rise and fall of Elvis Presley almost to a T. Because he wrote that book right around the time when... he published that book in 1961 when rock and roll was becoming the big thing.
In its infancy.
You know? Yeah. And he basically created a blonde-haired, guitar-playing pretty boy from the sticks who is basically... puppet on a strings to a guy who's very similar to Colonel Tom Parker. Also, he is just an unlovable person. He is one of the few characters you will hate almost immediately when you start reading. Because he was just kind of a bastard. he has basically all of Elvis's worst qualities. But, so there's that. As far as, like, television is concerned, he's probably most infamous for writing one of the most contentious episodes for the original Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, City on the Edge of Forever?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, one with, what's her name, Joan Collins as Edith Keeler?
Yep.
Yeah, where they go back in time. It was a wonderful episode.
Yeah. And apparently you can actually get, like, Harlan's original unedited screenplay. Because apparently he had to seriously... we got an amazing episode, but apparently it was going to be even better, but the executive stepped in. And you know how Harlan...
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you know how Harlan takes censorship.
Yeah, there was a big deal where Roddenberry had to rewrite part of it, and it ended up going to court.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a big, big deal. And yeah. they never reconciled before Gene Roddenberry died. That riff stayed.
Mm-hmm.
They knew how to hold a grudge.
Oh, yeah. And let's see. Other than that, there was I think he did a few episodes of Outer Limits, didn't he? Or one of those, like, anthology shows. One of them was called The Soldier, and it's the other thing that James Cameron ripped off from The Terminator. Hmm. And, of course, there's the numerous short story collections he put out. The ones I recommend are Harlison Weberland and I Have No Mouth and I'm a Scream, Beast That Shouted Love at the Heart of the World. Basically, Pain, God, and Other Delusions. And I think the last one was, I can't remember what the last one was, but it was good. And, of course, there is that game. And there is various pieces of poetry and essays. He wrote an amazing essay about one of the, because, of course, like a lot of people of his generation, he was a civil rights activist. And he basically was a, I don't think he was necessarily a freedom rider, but he did travel around to those various rallies. And there's one where he's basically talking about how, you know, they're having a parade through the street, you know, and as they're going down, they notice, you know, because you know how, like, when you have the, back then when you had those big events, they would have, like, police up on top of buildings with their rifles to try and make sure there's no outside issues coming in.
Yeah.
To make sure nothing is impeded. This time he noted that all of the cops were actually facing them. Yeah. Yeah. Think about that for a moment. Mm-hmm. And,
hang there.
Yeah, just let it hang. And, God, I know I am probably skipping over a bunch of other stuff because the dude was, not only was he very prolific, but he worked in so many different fields that it's really, really hard to keep up with all of them.
It could almost make an episode unto itself.
Yeah. But the dude was a true treasure. He could be contentious and curmudgeon as all hell. He was not exactly a big fan of the internet when it first came about, especially when people started sharing his work for free on it.
Yeah.
And he became notoriously, shall we say, lawyer happy.
Yeah.
Basically just suing everyone here and there and every which way.
I guess whatever floated his boat, huh?
Yeah,
pretty much.
He loved his capitalism.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, also some accusations that were occasionally thrown around of him touching women when they didn't want it.
Yeah.
Supposedly, yeah, it's kind of up in the air. But let's just say that his demons sometimes got the best of him. Yeah. But, you know, in the end, I mean, the dude was legit a great literary genius, and the world is poor for having lost him.
Yep.
So, R.I.P. Harlan Ellison. You contentious, curmudgeon bastard. Yeah, but, all right, so moving on for there. Now to start the get through the rest of the show proper. We now know who.
In about half an hour. I'm not sure how we're going to manage that. So.
We'll figure it out. All right, so.
We'll do it knowing that we got through the important stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, first things first, we now know who Trump is going to be nominating for the Supreme Court. It's Brett Kavanaugh. And Brett Kavanaugh is got a little something that just about everybody doesn't like him for.
Yep, he's an equal opportunity shithead.
Jackass. he's a member of the Federalist Society, which is always a good sign. He was one of the main. He apparently was one of the prime, one of the principal authors of the Star Report.
Yep, he worked in that group of people.
Ken Starr. Yep.
And basically didn't accomplish anything.
Nope.
His investigation didn't turn up anything.
No, it didn't. Spent, what was it, 3 or 4 years trying to prove this dude got a blowjob.
Well, he was working on Vince Foster's suicide.
Oh, yeah, he did that, too.
He argued unsuccessfully before the Supreme Court that attorney-client privilege did not apply to Foster after his death by suicide.
Yeah.
He's also written up about his belief that presidents should be protected from lawsuits and criminal investigations.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
It's like, yep, there we go. That's what we were looking for.
Yep. Unfit for the bench.
Let's see.
Is like overall
he's criticized the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, because it just has one director, not a group of them like the SEC or FCC.
Maybe you can have a bit of a discussion about that, but
yeah.
And of course, probably one of the big ones that's really up in the air is his attitude towards Roe v. Wade, because he's gone on record in saying that he does not support abortion, but he's also said that he believes Roe v. Wade is settled precedent, and that that's it. But you know, I heard a lot of that similar talk when you know Clarence Thomas was going through his nomination process, and we know how much that worked for him.
And also Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's not gonna, you know, push for, you know, anti-transgender and gay policies. See, he's got the flag that says he likes the gays.
Yeah.
Also he's pretty young.
Oh yeah, he is.
Could potentially be on the court for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You see the guy on CNN that kept going on all the shows saying, you know, Roe v. Wade is dead.
Yeah.
Maybe like 20 states that are going to outlaw abortion after that. And when CNN is very much going on a limb on like that.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, nominating a guy before the other guy is actually retired.
Mm-hmm. Apparently he, you know, there was like some favors traded between Justice Kennedy and President Trump, and apparently Kavanaugh. Trump nominated Kavanaugh specifically because it was the only way Kennedy was going to retire.
Yeah, I don't know if is it legal to make deals to get people off the Supreme Court.
We're about to find out, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah, and all this because let's say Mitch McConnell refused to do the right thing before.
Yeah. And by the way, if you want to talk about...
Could the Democrats sue to uphold McConnell's rules?
They could, if they wanted to.
Yeah, because the whole thing is not an actual rule.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a good faith thing. But then if you want to apply the same rules... It's like there's a major elections coming up in a few months. Not 10 months later. Like 3 months. 3-4 months.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to talk about just sheer bullshit, Mitch McConnell, the guy who basically did everything he could while President Obama was in office to try and hold up every judge nomination that he could, every judicial nomination, is now saying that Democrats should do the right thing and not try to hold up judicial hearings.
Which is why I said...
I mean, you don't listen to tortoise people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kettle, it's me, Pot. You're black.
Yeah.
You're too black.
Yeah. All right, well...
Just putting that
next
out
up,
there.
Yeah. All right, so we got another story here. You guys remember the Bundy standoff?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was like a bullshit thing, lasted for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I believe I said they should have been droned into a fine paste the moment they started pointing guns at officers of the law.
Were they the ones that everybody was like sending 55-gallon bottles of lube to?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember there was that, and then there was also like the bird preserve that I think that was the other one. They might, that was where might have been both. Was. Yeah. But anyway, the two ranchers who, you know, they had their case that sparked the whole thing. Yeah, Trump pardoned them this week.
Mm-hmm. But yet, one of the Native Americans who was trying to protect the waters went to jail.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
Oh, on the pipeline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want to say all this is doomed and they exploded?
Yeah, it exploded. Mm-hmm. It totally did.
Shit itself all over.
Exactly what they were warning against.
Yep.
Well, nobody could have imagined it would happen that quick.
Yep.
Well, like it didn't happen constantly in, was it North Dakota that got the oil boom?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was them.
Where the oil companies got off because they hired other companies to manage the employees, their own employees. Mm-hmm. So there was nobody from those companies actually working there.
Yeah.
To do the bad things. It's like, oh, this is great.
All right. So, next story we got after that. So, you know that whole Brexit thing?
About I may have heard of it.
UK decided we don't want to be in the EU anymore.
I think we don't want to hear about it for
anymore.
And then, the vote happened, and then the morning after, everybody realized that they kind of screwed up.
Yeah,
I only voted for it because I thought it was going to fail by a large margin.
It's like, you moron! But, yeah, so they're trying to negotiate that, and oh, it's going so well because Boris Johnson and two other ministers both got the sack this week. Well, they quit.
They quit. Yeah.
Yeah.
They self-sacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cosplayer might quit.
Yeah. You know, it might be a good idea to let them put up another referendum.
I don't know if they can even stop it now.
Well, they can just kind of let it peter out if they wanted to.
Yeah, the vote itself was non-binding, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they already put in the paperwork to get out. And they have to get this all finished by March.
Mm-hmm.
Or else they've got no deals in place. And they might just sink into the ocean. Because they got no financial protections at that point.
Yeah.
No deals with the EU for trades. So tons of their farmers and all that export stuff to the EU are going to be shit out of luck. And
oh, yeah.
They're going to bring from other countries in, like America, Canada, EU, anybody else. They're not going to be coming in, at least not any way cheap.
Oh, they're going to have to suck a lot of dick to clear that one up.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You got a ton of incompetent people leading all this shit.
Yeah.
People that just lied to the public.
Yeah.
About, oh, yeah, you vote for this, we're going to have all this money freed up from EU payments. It's going to go to the NHS. And guess what? That was a lie.
Yep.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Mm-hmm.
You like stupid people that can't do anything.
Yeah.
I think they just finally came to the realization they want to do a soft Brexit.
Yeah.
Like the last couple weeks, and which basically means they want to largely keep a lot of the same deals they have with the EU.
Mm-hmm.
Without paying membership dues.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're just being like a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah.
That wants to move out to the backyard. No longer be a part of the house. But still wants the dinners, wants the laundry done, you know, wants to, you know, get all the privileges.
Yeah.
Which is the way UK's existed for thousands of years.
Pretty much.
Good luck.
Alright. Yeah, so next up. You guys remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they're in the right order.
Okay.
Who basically shocked the whole nation by managing to unseat the third most powerful Democrat in Congress.
Mm-hmm. It was an idiot.
Yeah.
He literally was like, oh, I got the Latino vote sewed up. Talking about a Latino restaurant. It's like, I can't pronounce that, but it's got an X in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're really in touch, aren't you?
But she has basically became a superstar overnight. And both parties are absolutely scared shitless of her.
Yeah, she's a young person. She wasn't even in politics until this past year.
Well, she's apparently so popular that there was another primary election that she won purely through a write-in. She wasn't even a candidate.
And the numbers are great. She won the 14th congressional district in New York for Democratic primary. And this is for the 15th.
Yep.
She beat the Bronx rep Jose Serrano, who also was not competing for this.
Yeah.
There were 22 write-in votes. She got 9.
Nice.
I have several questions.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was the field like?
I don't know. Was there a field? Doesn't seem like much of one.
If you can win votes, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The Board of Elections certified her as the victor for this primary. But she obviously has to decline it state law bars individuals from being candidates for two different offices at the same time. Yeah, which makes sense. She got signed up, or the write-in votes for the as part of the Reform Party line in the Serrano district. Which I don't know anything about what that party is.
Yeah.
What does the Reform Party stand for? A moderate centrist populist party. Okay. I don't need to see any more.
Basically, not the GOP or the Democrats.
Yeah. She says, shockingly, and I'm told this is not a joke, we have also won a primary in the neighboring 15th congressional district via a write-in campaign on the Reform line. While I'm honored that so many Bronxites are excited about our campaign, I'll remain the Dem nominee for NY14.
That's how popular she is now.
And she has actual principles?
Yeah.
Doesn't change them because somebody says they might not stand with her?
Yeah.
And she scares all the old people in Congress, which has been used for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be a lot of very scared old people in this November.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Do you know who's running in one of the districts in Massachusetts?
Mm-mm.
Who's that?
Brianna Wu.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, she survived Gabergate. You don't want to fuck with
her. Yeah. She gets
it done. I do believe the sleeping giant is awake.
Yeah. boy.
You got plenty of women, plenty of minorities running.
And we also a handful of Nazis.
Yeah.
So, especially you know, win some, you lose some.
Take the good with the bad.
So everything's on the table.
Yep. Literally.
All right. Okay. So, next up. So Sacha Baron Cohen is back in the news. He's got a new project. Yeah, I think at this point we can sort of consider him our modern equivalent to Andy Kaufman, and that he's just so.
Sorry, that was a very delayed response.
Yeah. And that he's famous for being able to fool a lot of people with his disguises. And he's one of those comedians who doesn't even have to tell a joke. The humor just naturally comes about. And, of course, I think he became famous because of Borat, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Which have we all seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah, that movie is
delightful.
Yes. Nice.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It is something about that show, about that movie. It just, Let's just say that after you watch that movie, you won't be too shocked that Trump got elected.
Yeah.
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 Unfortunately.
He's got this new character he's created who's supposed to be like a conspiracy blogger. Mm-hmm. And is also supposed to be like a vet who's like in a wheelchair or something.
Yeah.
And amongst other things he's done, he's interviewed Dick Cheney, who I think, according to what the previews are showing, he seems to have gotten in on the joke about halfway through. But apparently Sarah Palin wasn't good enough for that, because she got duped by both Sacha Baron Cohen and Showtime.
And lost her shit.
She apparently ended up wasting a couple days at the airport, and she is pissed.
Really?
Yeah, she...
Oh, God, she is pissed.
Yeah, her comments here are all of the butthurt variety.
Just every last ounce of it.
Yep. First line here is, yep, we were duped. You got me, Sacha. Feel better now? I joined a long list of American public personalities who have fallen victim to the evil exploitative, sick, quote-unquote, humor of the British comedian Sacha Baron Cohen.
Would you like some Himalayan tea to go along with the salt?
Yeah.
It's the same person that said she could see Russia from her house in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And didn't warn us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And apparently she still hasn't stopped either. She was still salty about it today.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like other parts of this statement is about how dare he mock the veterans.
Yeah. He's not. And then you go on Facebook and you'll find some folks who I know who are veterans who say, you know, Sarah, as a veteran, you can shove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fake offense for other people that you don't care about is always a good tactic.
Yeah. But she knows she's got some attention, and so now she's going to try and drain every last drop she can out of it.
14 minutes and 59 seconds.
Before she goes back into the shadows to feed.
That's one of the perks of working at Fox News. They provide the feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever movie this is, I can't wait till it comes out, because I'm pretty sure this
show
thing...
It's
a series.
Oh, Showtime. Yeah, it's a series on Showtime. Well, I'm definitely going to watch it then, because holy crap.
Yeah.
Because those are only two of the people he's managed, like major people he's managed to dupe into this.
Yeah.
And, wow. All right. So next story we got here is out of Richmond. It was a... antiquarian bookstore, and there was this woman in there, and she's looking around, and who does she come across? None other than Steve Mein Kampf Bannon.
Yep. Okay.
And she goes up to Steve Bannon, and she does basically what any rational person would, which is to call him a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And apparently it got the bookstore's owner all concerned, so he ended up calling the cops on her.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, as he says here about the events, Steve Bannon was simply standing, looking at books, minding his own business. I asked her to leave, and she wouldn't. And I said, I'm going to call the police if you don't, and I went to call the police, and she left. And that's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here's the best statements, or the best line in this whole thing. The Richmond Police Department confirmed a call was made around 3:15 p.m. Saturday, for a report of someone yelling at a political figure in the bookstore, and that the call was canceled before any officers responded.
Yeah.
As he says, we are a bookshop. Bookshops are all about ideas and tolerating different opinions, not about verbally assaulting somebody, which is what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you really tolerated her opinion of him being a piece of crap really well. But yeah. Keep up the pressure on anybody associated with Trump, even if they're not on the...
Yep.
Administration anymore.
You guys hear that Turtle Boy McConnell has
Mitch
been chased
Connell,
out of restaurants twice this week.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened with Stephen Miller?
No.
Oh yeah.
He was out getting
Did we mention this?
Sushi?
Yeah, he was getting $80 worth of takeout sushi.
And the guy came out after he was leaving and said, what does he say, just fuck you?
Yeah.
And he,
well, not originally,
he got concerned about the food and threw it out.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, make sure these people are not comfortable in public until they stop doing the terrible shit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a productive member of society until you're a productive member of society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make it impossible for them to be as they are.
And apparently it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got a story, kind of something that kind of people are kind of wondering why exactly, but okay, so Emmett Till's whole his murder, his lynching, was one of the sort of sparks that ignited the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, yeah. A huge catalyst.
He was basically a 15-year-old kid who, whether or not, and to this day, no one is really sure if this actually happened. Supposedly, he whistled at a white woman or flirted with her somehow, and then word got around, and they just straight up murdered him and dumped his body in a lake.
Yeah.
And his mom demanded that they have an open casket funeral so everybody could see what they did to her baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically became an international outrage, and it helped spark the civil rights movement. Yep. And now in 2018, for some reason, people still haven't figured out why, the Justice Department has decided to reopen this case.
No, I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, they haven't said anything specific as to why. So the discovery of new information.
Yeah.
Which people think...
It's possible...
The book that just came out last year, I think.
Yeah.
Might have information that they're interested in investigating.
It's possible.
So I think it's like, been essentially found out that she lied about it.
Yeah, I mean, she actually admitted it, that she lied about it. Like, but I mean, it was years too late.
Most of the people that were involved in all this are dead.
Yeah, but then again, it's possible there might be one person who isn't.
Well, I think she is still alive, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you guess what state this all took place in?
Yeah,
this was Mississippi.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mississippi. Damn it, Mississippi.
Though it's also kind of one step. It's kind of weird that the lie is what created the civil rights movement.
It wasn't so much the lie as the result of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she lied to cause this reaction.
Yeah. And it just kind of spiraled out of control.
Came out of this lie, even if it resulted in a death.
Mm-hmm. So next up, Stormy Daniels, the adult film star, who at this point we now know she had sex with now President Donald Trump and was given hush money by Michael Cohen. She was arrested in Columbus at a club over a supposed law about, because I guess she's doing like a strip tour right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was stripping there, and apparently she was arrested over a touching law.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, in some parts of the United States, strip clubs will have there's places where if you're a stripper at a strip club, there can be no like immediate contact between you and the customer, because otherwise it might go over into prostitution.
It's a cover your ass law, basically.
Yeah. And I guess at some point they figured out who she was and that she screwed up, and they dropped the charges.
Well, there's a couple things with this. So this is an Ohio law that passed in 2007. Mm-hmm. It says, an employee who regularly appears nude or semi-nude at a sexually oriented business is prohibited from touching patrons except for family members. She is not an employee of this club.
No.
She doesn't regularly appear there. So that's how she got off, is technicalities, which is good. Because everybody's also like, because the people she touched were undercover cops.
Oof. Yeah.
Basically knew she was in town and set up a sting operation.
Mm-hmm.
But also part of this is all this she's putting on a show.
Yeah, because
that's why you brought her
touring.
So
Michael Avenatti, her lawyer, is just basically calling them out on all this shit. And yeah, it's a law that nobody really pays any attention to.
Yeah, and apparently the chief of police today came out saying that they're going to be probing this case and finding the motivations of the cops who, of the vice cops who did this, because they think it might be politically motivated.
You think?
Really?
Wonder what would that idea
come? Why would the cops mess with a white woman?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
It's because she's got a lawsuit against the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they talked to one of the women that works there, and she's like, I'm all for following the rules and going by the book, no touching, no this or that. But also at the same time, in my opinion, I feel like it was completely harmless. She was putting on a show, the people who made money see her. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
She'd been there for 2.5 years and never seen anybody get arrested for this. Yes. It's the sort of thing that the club would just handle. You know, mm-hmm. If customers violate it, then they get kicked out. The dancer violates.
Easily roughed up.
Talking with the mm-hmm. management.
I mean, they do have bouncers there.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're all told, like, you know, if somebody's touching, you know, yell out for them.
Yeah.
They will come out.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of the serious portion of our show. Thank God. Whew. Because that got heavy for a little while.
Yep.
Now we're going on to the lighter side. So first things first, some archaeologists have actually managed to unearth what is believed to be the earliest known extract of Homer's The Odyssey. Of course, Homer, of course, may or may not have been an actual person. Nobody's really sure.
Yeah.
But he's accredited with writing two of the classics of the Western canon, which is the Iliad and the Odyssey. And they've apparently found the earliest form piece of it that has been found yet.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an ancient tablet engraved with 13 verses of the Odyssey in the ancient city of Olympia in southern Greece, which dates back to the 3rd century AD during the Roman era.
Nice.
So they're working on confirming all this, but yeah, it would be the oldest written record of Homer's work.
Yeah. Now, obviously, people know that it goes back farther than that because we've got evidence of it. But this is like the actual, like, first time we've gotten something this ancient of the actual words.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yep.
I wonder if there are differences in the earlier in that earlier version.
That's what I was wondering too.
Scholars have been going over that for a long time. Because you have to remember that when the Iliad and the Odyssey, right around the time they were originally composed, they would not have been written down.
Hmm.
They would have been recited, and then apprentice poets would have learned it by memory, and then they would have shared it. So it's totally possible that there are some significant changes between then and now.
Yeah, as I say here, composed orally during the 8th century BC. The other poem attributed to Homer was transcribed during the Christian era onto parchment, of which only a few fragments have been discovered in Egypt.
Yeah.
And this was found, this particular tablet was found close to the remains of the Temple of Zeus at the site of the Olympic Games in the Western Peloponnese.
Well, yeah, that's pretty neat. So, all right, so next up from that, Cape Canaveral, two of the towers there, two of the most famous towers there at Cape Canaveral, have officially been blown to smithereens. They were demolished, and they're making way for a new tenant.
Yep, there's tons of video. It's really hard just for me to find text of people explaining what was going on here. But yeah, they have not been used for 7 years, which was last used for the United Launch Alliance's workhorse Delta II rocket, with some lunar probes. And yeah, it took that long to get this demolition project funded, at $2 million. So it took them a while just to raise the funding to be able to do this. But, yeah. So these are, what were these used for? Yeah, they've been around since the 60s. They supported the Delta rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the Delta II rocket flew the first of 110 missions from that site on Valentine's Day in 1989. Putting up a bunch of GPS satellites, it seems. Also sent up three of the Mars rovers in 96 and Spirit and Opportunity in 2003. And 2004, the first probe to orbit Mercury. So yeah, it's not a lot of great stuff out of that particular thing. Part of the Cape Canaveral setup.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about watching those videos is those things are way bigger than you might think.
Oh, yes.
Because they look like they're just like something maybe like 50 or 100 feet high. Those are... The scale is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You would not
they're
be able
about
to see
the height of a skyscraper.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they got to support a whole rocket, so obviously they are.
Yeah, I love watching some like the Discovery Channel type stuff where they show the sort of vehicles they use to actually transport the stuff over there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just gigantic. It's a ton of real estate that they have to work with just to get between all these different towers.
Mm-hmm.
But the new tenant is called Moon Express. They're a private company that plans to perform short hop tests of a small lunar lander that could fly missions for NASA and other customers.
Mm.
So, moon vehicles, essentially.
Mm. All right. Well, all right. Moving on from there, we've got a big, what may be a massive scientific discovery could change the way we look at the universe. This week, scientists at an ice cube observatory in the South Pole have managed for the first time to detect a neutrino.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah, this is kind of a crazy thing to do because neutrinos are very hard to capture.
Yep.
And the way they do this, they use the South Pole because there's tons of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is able to slow it down a little bit. And that's the way they're able to capture image of this. I don't think they have the image here. It's a lot of just the artistic renderings they do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the amount of energy that a neutrino has is kind of crazy. I'm trying to see where the part is they explain that. Let's see. It's something like, I don't know if it's, I thought it was in this one, but it's way powerful than anything we have on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the particle colliders we have, it's something like 400 times more powerful.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask for you who are more versed in science, what does the actual identification of a neutrino, what are the implications of that?
Neutrinos are, they're very small.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're even smaller than atoms. Like, you know how we do a lot of tests just trying to work on atoms and all that sort of stuff. These things are much, much smaller. And they kind of just ghost through the Earth.
Yeah, they don't really, that's what I hear, they don't really pay attention to surface. They just kind
of... Yeah, they're so like, small they can just sort of go through anything, and they go nearly the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we figured out this thing particularly came out of the galaxy, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy to be able to capture something like this just long enough to study it.
Yeah. So does this mean we're closer to getting wormholes now?
Probably not.
Damn it.
So we're just barely detecting this stuff.
Crap. Oh, well, I can dream.
Yeah, we'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, just but, start digging a hole and we'll get you there some point.
Yeah. But basically it means that, you know, because, I mean, wasn't, like, up until fairly recently the atom supposed to be, like, the sort of, like, basis for, like, all matter? And we found something even smaller?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, our neutrinos are, like, completely independent particles, right? Are they not, are they?
I'm not 100% sure on this stuff.
Yeah, I was wanting to know if they were attached to anything.
I don't think so.
Okay, I guess
it's
or just independent particles.
I'm looking at the wiki page for neutrino, and there's lots of shit on here I don't understand.
I think it would have to be.
Well, I mean, there's lots of symbols you start getting, shit I don't understand.
So. Well, I think once you get that small, you start going into the quantum field, and that stuff's brain-breaking for even the experts, so...
Yeah.
But, all right, so... Next up, Starbucks. No, they're not in trouble yet for their holiday cups. You know, I joke about that, and yet, you know how they do that Christmas in July crap. I wouldn't be surprised if something comes out on, I don't know, Facebook or something that your aunt's mother's cousin ends up, you know, sending out.
You're right.
That they saw on Facebook and it starts spreading.
Yeah.
My mom needs to stop falling for that shit. But
introducing
Starbucks. Yeah. Starbucks has announced that they're going to be phasing out plastic straws by 2020.
Yep. They're going to be having new lids that are basically going to be adult sippy cups.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly coffee, right? So aren't you supposed to be drinking coffee by the sip?
You'd think so.
Yeah. No, it's those 1,000-calorie fucking frappuccinos that the little...
Oh.
Not even kidding. 9- and 10-year-olds are drinking these things. Have I already ranted about this? I'll skip it anyway.
Yeah, you have. Okay. It's hipsters, man. They infect everything. But
they just don't have kids.
You think.
Joking.
But point I was making is, and I wanted to make is, this is all cool and everything, but, you know, there is more plastic than just straws, right?
Yeah, that's the weird thing is...
But, like, why is it that plastic straws have become, like...
Because of the plastic people use every day.
Yeah, it's something that you
come to in contact a lot.
Yeah.
And don't always...
We know that the ocean is full of plastic. We know that they've developed various... They've discovered and developed various organisms and enzymes that they're going to use to try and clean up all the plastic.
Yeah, most of the waste there is from, like, body washes, like the little plastic beads that are in that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
As well as fishing equipment from all the shit that goes on in the Pacific.
Yeah.
The tsunamis and all that.
Yeah, that's true. I was just was like, why was the
I think it's just something straw. That Starbucks and various other companies can control.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because they're not going to do anything about body washes.
No.
Not yet, at least.
You're going to have to get Johnson & Johnson on that crap.
I think those are being phased out. I don't know. Trump might have rolled back the
sunscreen that is harmful to, you know, creatures in the ocean and coral reefs and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Australia's definitely banned all that.
Yeah, because their coral reefs are bleaching like crazy. And but like we said, as we always say with environmental stuff, these are always the worst case scenarios, and they only happen if we don't do anything.
Well, and we're doing something. See how hot it is.
Yeah,
we haven't really done anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is Georgia. Yeah. It's always this hot in summer.
It used to be in the 90s for a couple weeks at a time here.
Mm.
At least I was a kid and wasn't paying attention to the temperatures. But
you were a kid and you weren't paying attention.
Yeah. But
right.
The only bad thing about this is that there's a group of people that this is absolutely affecting. People with disabilities.
Yeah.
That need those straws. But I assume by some point...
Well, they have paper straws.
Yeah, and I assume there will be people that will cater to them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have reusable straws they can easily clean, that sort of stuff they can bring with them.
Yeah, I've got those. You can get glass straws, you can get stainless steel straws.
Stainless
steel straws. It's an easy-to-solve problem.
It really is. Yeah. Stainless steel straws are really nice, too, especially when you're drinking a cold drink. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
What about coffee?
No.
Also nice because it's hot.
I don't.
Because they warm up quite well.
I don't drink coffee out of a goddamn straw. Who does this shit? Who does?
I think it's the people that get all the cream and all that in there, where it's more sugar than coffee.
I still don't drink with a straw.
I don't drink coffee at all.
Mm-mm.
I just wake up.
I don't drink it with a straw because I'm not paying some other
orange juice was Yeah. Orange juice was always my morning drink, so that or milk. So, but anyway. All right, and now for the Hollywood portion.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. First things first, we've now confirmed that for Star Wars Episode 9, Lando's coming back, and yes, Billy Dee Williams will be playing him.
Yep.
He's Lando as fuck.
Yeah, I hope by the end that he's the only one that survives of the old guard. Because he's the cockroach of the Star Wars universe.
Pretty much, yeah, can't kill him. Cockroach.
That's one of my favorite things, reading like EU books.
Yeah, it's been expanded so universe.
He's just always found some new business proposition to take care of, like reading the Thrawn trilogy, and he has his whole mining operation that he's doing shit with. Though now, I'm in the second book, he's just basically Han's buddy. Mm-hmm. He's just getting roped into whatever shit Han's trying to do.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate we don't have Billy and being Lando in like the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be Han and Lando doing it again.
Yeah.
But,
oh, well. But anyway.
I saw somebody make a joke that they should just pull a Star Trek and have young and old Lando together.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking get Donald Glover in there.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, our penultimate story of the night, Neil Blomkamp, the guy who became famous for making District 9 and hasn't really been able to equal that success since.
Yeah.
Many directors trying to do a Halo thing.
Yeah, and really complete. Yeah.
I mean, Steven Spielberg can't do a Halo thing that nobody can.
Mm-hmm. But somehow his movies have still managed to do good at the box office, so he still is able to get some various projects in the works, like this one. He's going to do a RoboCop reboot.
We just had one.
Yeah. And
but we wish we didn't.
Yeah, it completely fell over like a lead balloon. Now, if anybody could actually do... Now, if you've seen Blomkamp's films and his whole style... He's probably one of the few modern filmmakers I could actually somewhat trust with doing a RoboCop reboot. Because if you've seen the original RoboCop movie, not the sequels, which are shit, but the first one, you can definitely see sort of how he would do that type of movie. Because at least like a good third of the original RoboCop was like news and TV commercials. So
he'll just make a documentary.
There's that, but, you know, it's... The original RoboCop, I think, is a lot deeper of a movie than people give it credit for.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was a poor man's Terminator when it first came out, and it took some time before people really understood how good it was.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of political stuff in there. There's a lot of questions about what it is to be human. You know, there's it's actually stuff that's right up near Neil Blomkamp's street.
Really.
And degradation of society.
Yeah. So,
gee, I wonder where you could get inspiration from that.
Yeah, I wonder.
This day and age.
Obviously, if there's any other, like... reboot like franchise I would like to see him do is Starship Troopers.
Oh yeah.
But still like go the route that the movie went with it being basically a giant satire on fascist propaganda and just going all in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make it about Trump's Space Force.
Yep.
See, we're writing a screenplay.
It writes itself
already. Yeah. Somebody get the producer on the phone. speaking of which, I saw that movie again recently. The original Starship Troopers.
It's so bad, it's amazing.
Well, because it's not that it's bad, it's just the thing was shot in a way that people weren't... You know, people were originally... Because, I mean, that movie came out right around the time like Independence Day came out. And you know, so like those types of big space movies were kind of making a brief comeback, and everybody thought that they were going to be getting an Independence Day type thing, but what you got was actually basically a satire that was shot like political propaganda.
Yeah.
And if you didn't realize that it was a, if you didn't realize that it was supposed to be a satire by the time you saw Neil Patrick Harris, you know, coming in dressed up like an SS Hugo Boss dude, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess with this reboots, Justin Rhodes is writing a script for this, who co-wrote the Terminator reboot that's currently being worked on by Tim Miller. He is rewriting a script that was written by Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner, who wrote the original RoboCop.
Mm.
So I guess they must have worked on a more recent script that Justin Rhodes is going over, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever want to have just the most entertaining online discussion, discuss the political system from Heinlein's original novel and the merits and or vices of it. That'll be fun.
With who?
And you'll question. Be just seeing all the people discussing the morals at it and nobody noticing that the whole fucking thing falls apart if you think about it for just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not joking. The political system in that fucking book makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah. I think that was completely intentional on Heinlein's part.
No, not entirely. Heinlein was 100% true. I mean, he basically said that, you know, when people asked, did he really believe in what he was saying in Starship Troopers, he said, well, I stayed on the Navy registers for the 48 years, and I wouldn't have stayed on if I didn't believe in it. So.
Yeah.
And finally, our last story of the night. Everybody knows that Dragon Ball is back. Dragon Ball Super.
Fully is canon.
Yes, and the next Dragon Ball Super movie is going to be featuring Broly. He's a thing now.
Hooray.
Hey, the Dragon Ball Z edgelords get their Broly character. I like Akira Toriyama's tweet about this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, everyone, do you know who Broly is? he appeared only in past anime films and is a ridiculously strong Saiyan. Mm-hmm. I'm told I only drew his design at the time I was mostly uninvolved with the anime, mm-hmm. So I completely forgot the details. Even now, it seems Broly is still very popular, not just in Japan, but overseas as well. And because of that, the supervisor suggested, why don't we make the movie about Broly this time?
Yeah. He's only in the 8th and 10th Dragon Ball Z movies.
Yeah.
I think he had
like,
one
that's
more
literally.
Movie.
No, it's the 8th and the 10th.
Oh.
Yeah. At a point where they're
he
all
may have made, like.
It.
Yeah. But not anymore. He's canon now.
Yep.
At least this edition of Broly will be canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did actually.
See what they
okay.
do with him.
All right. Let's see. Killed by Goku. Blah, 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 blah. He did. I think in the 10th movie, he came back as Bio Broly, which was like supposed to be like a bio liquid clone or something.
Yeah, that's how they would have done something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is just. He's a dumb character. He really is.
Dumb character who now has his own movie.
Well, that's Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
and people wondered why I don't watch it.
It's Dragon Ball's great.
It's amazing.
It's bad, it can be.
Stay away from the non-canon stuff, and you could probably enjoy it.
Watch the driving test episode. That's too.
Yeah,
that's the required one. That's if you want to see what
if you're going to do a filler, it might as well be entertaining.
like trying to dress like real people. And take a driving test for something they will never use. Because Chi-Chi just yells at them.
Yeah.
Because that's just what Chi-Chi does.
Yeah. It's like the beginning of Super when Goku's a farmer. And he's just passing out on the whatever farm equipment he has. Like, nearly drives off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because it's not interesting at all to him.
He'd be fine. The tractor would probably not come out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is going to be launching in theaters in Japan in December, January here in North America. I assume it'll hit Blu-ray and such
a few months after. Pretty soon after. Yeah. Well, I do believe we've got a show, folks.
Yes.
And what a show it was. Good Lord. So I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you have a question or something you want us to read on the air, comment, your insane political manifesto, you can reach us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked in the show notes. Also on top of iTunes. You can find our little pieces of insanity on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, archive.org, RSS, and just about everywhere else that delicious oral candy like ours is recorded. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Bruce Sammons, and Chris Elogi, good night. God, bro, you're so stupid.